Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
Jay's out here fucking stirring up the conservatives again on old TikTok.
Yeah, look, man, that's what I do. Look, and also on YouTube, on our other show.
I feel like whenever you get in spats with these people and you reply to the comments, it's like that King of the Hill meme where, like, Bobby's standing outside of the school, like, holding up the sign, and the principal's like, you know, if any of those kids could read, they'd be really upset with you right now.
If any of these you actually understood politics. Now, look, shout out to the people on TikTok who are, like, seeing our content but are, like, you know, thinking people. They're just, like, like correcting all of these, like, crazy MAGA Republicans. Like, what are you talking about? Like, these are not facts, what you're saying. Like, this is really weird. So, yeah, that's fun. And then I pissed off a bunch of black conservatives by me, Micah, and Terrence by calling out Stephen A. Smith for his – bullshit.
That's right. You were trying to debate that one guy.
Yeah, I called him out. And he did what all conservatives do. They don't really know anything. He ran.
but the funny thing is, like, I listened to that Black and Black Cinema episode, and no lies detected in any of it. You guys were 100% correct, because we see this shit all the time with people who swerve out of the lane. And again, to your point, like, I don't have a problem with Stephen A. Smith opining his opinions on politics, but don't speak authoritatively about something that you don't know. Like, I'm not gonna do the old, you know, shut up and dribble quote, because that's, you know, that's out of line. But, like, just
no, I know you did. I said it in the show. Fuck him.
But just admit you don't know what you're fucking talking about.
Well, that's the biggest thing. Is I saw a clip, and then we'll get into the show. I saw a clip of Jordan Klepper from The Daily Show. This is from a couple months ago, but I saw the clip again today. And he was talking – they were asking him, like, do you have – like, how do you convince somebody, one of these hardcore Trump supporters, to, like, see reality, right? And he was like, I'm not sure you can. We've tried. We've gotten, like, one person who went to jail for January 6th, and she came out. She was like, this was probably a bad idea. but he said that we have a crisis of certainty, right, which I think is a really good turn of phrase. And he basically said that everybody is so certain that they are correct. And the problem is, in order to pull somebody to your side, you have to give up something. You have to say, I am not certain about certain things, you know, of something. And that gives people a little bit of leeway to go, okay, well, I'm not certain about something either. And then you can try to find a middle ground. And look, I believe in that. But at the same time, I don't believe in pretending I don't know things that I do know. And I don't pretend to, like, certain facts don't exist. And a lot of the things that people say on TikTok, look, I get finding politics fascinating. Hello, like, we do. That's why we do the show. We're two giant nerds.
Literally doing a two-hour show every week. Right. I assume we have some level of interest in the subject matter.
Yeah, we're not doing it for the money. I can tell you that. So I get that. But I also can spot from a million miles away, people that just got into politics, especially Republicans who just got into politics when Trump came down the escalator in 2016. I can tell in the way that you talk. I can tell in your understanding of policy or lack thereof. I can tell your lack of political history. I know all of these things, right? I can see it. And I'm not, like, some fucking soothsayer genius. It's just that I've been watching and listening to politics since I was, like, 15 years old, listening to C-SPAN, because I'm a loser. And so I know the difference between somebody who has a deeper level of knowledge of these things. And when I hear people say, espouse, like, crazy shit that I know is not correct, I can't just go, all right, you got it. No, fuck that. But I am more than okay for people to say, I don't know. And then say, okay, well, here's how do we go, like, you know, where do we go from the middle forward, right? Like, I'm okay with that. Like, somebody said, you know, Biden didn't give anything to Hawaiians after the wildfires. It's just categorically incorrect. That's not an opinion. It's just incorrect. On its face, it's incorrect. And so, like, those kind of things, like, I feel like I want to correct the Hunter Biden thing that which spurred all this TikTok shit today. Like, I felt like I needed to correct it because it was so unbelievably wrong. And I'm fine with if that guy who I stitched earlier was like, this is kind of curious. Like, that's weird. Mm-hmm. I wonder why this is happening. That's a different conversation to be had. But to say this definitively happened when it definitively did not happen, nah, fuck that. Like, absolutely not. So Fun times, man. It's been a hell of a ride over the last couple of days with Republicans.
Hey, you know, like I said, always fun to battle with the supposed facts don't care about your feelings brigade who have never seen a fact if they tripped and fell over one. So
well, they feel that they don't count. Right? All right, so let's
speaking of people valuing feelings over facts,
interesting
or established law. Yeah.
All right. Well, go for it. You're up.
Yeah, so the Supreme Court this year's term, or this current term, not this year's term, had their last two cases, and they were two pretty big ones, and we'll talk about the second of them first, before we talk about the first one. And this is the Supreme Court hearing arguments on whether or not we have a supreme ruler at the top of our country, and the president can do whatever the fuck he wants without fear of criminal prosecution, or if we live in America. And the president can be held liable if he commits criminal acts while in office. So basically, this is the appeal from the D.C. January 6th trial that Jack Smith and co. are bringing against Trump. And Judge Tanya Chutkan ruled that presidents don't have criminal immunity because of fucking course they don't. And then the three judge D.C. appeals panel also unanimously ruled that presidents don't have immunity from crimes while in office. And of course the Supreme Court's
seems like the fact that they even had to say anything is just ridiculous, but yes.
Yeah. And the Supreme Court's like, well, we have to hear this because Trump's our boy. Like we can't just take that appeals court ruling and let that stand. So this is the one that they dragged their feet to hear. And it was literally the last case of the term. And it went literally exactly as you thought it would go, where Trump's lawyer was trying to argue that yes, anything that the president does in their as an official act should not. It's always been this way that they wouldn't be held criminal liable. Not the case. Literally, never in American history has any president been like, I can do whatever the fuck they want. You can't charge me with crimes. Ketanji Brown Jackson brought up the point that I make on this show before, where if the president being criminally indicted isn't a thing, then why did Ford have to pardon Richard Nixon? And then as Trump's lawyer was trying to answer that, basically Alito like cut in and tried to like give him a lifeline, which I thought was very funny. Like I listened to that part of the argument and it was really, really hilarious to me. And in fact, Brett Kavanaugh said that the Ford pardon is looked at today as one of the great, great moments in presidential history, which, okay, not to certainly who, not to listeners of this show. I can fuck tell.
Yeah, to who, dude? Who are you talking about? did he say that as he was cracking open his 12th beer of the day? Like, what are you talking about, dude?
And basically, the conservative justice arguments to this were like the biggest point they made was, well, if we let this happen, right? Like, couldn't this open Pandora's box where every president that leaves office will then be charged by like a vindictive successor if it's from the other party. And that's never happened before, to which I needed someone to shake all of them like an idiot and be like, hey, it's never happened before because we've never had a president that has flagrantly thumbed his nose at the law while in office before. And Ketanji Brown Jackson also made the point that she's more worried about what will happen in the future if we set the precedent that presidents cannot be held criminally liable for official acts that they perform while in office.
Right. And look, there's a lot of misunderstanding of how things work here. So I do think it matters to clarify something. This is not about civil sort of crimes, right? Meaning you cannot sue the president for a civil case. You cannot civilly sue the president because people could just be like, I fucking tripped and fell and that's because of a pothole that you didn't fix when you were president. Fucking like give me $30,000. The president would be sued constantly, right? There would just be a bunch of like nonsense civil suits. You're not allowed to do that. And that makes sense. Criminal suits?
Not even suits. Criminal charges.
Criminal charges. Right. Yeah. Get the fuck out of here. Of course. Because to Ketanji Brown Jackson's point, you should be worried far more about what a future president would do with what amounts to you're a king sort of powers, right?
Well, and that's the point that one of the points that Jack Smith, the attorney arguing for the prosecution side of the case, was arguing is like, this is a stupid thing to say that like the founders, like this is what they envisioned, because they were literally getting out from under the thumb of a monarch who could literally do whatever the fuck he wanted. Like to then yeah. suggest that you would put an effective king in their place is a ludicrous argument that doesn't make any sense.
Right. And so it's interesting to watch the conservatives of the court try to thread this needle, right?
It's
because it should have been thrown out. Like they should have never heard it.
Yeah, shouldn't even heard it. Like they should have been like, yeah, this appeals court opinion, which was unanimous and really well written, is really fucking thorough and probably could just stand by itself.
Yeah, we're gonna go back to trying to steal women's right to their bodies. Like, we got other shit we got to do. We don't have time for this, right? Because they're dirtbags, but. What I find interesting is how the threading of the needle is happening, right? Which is what a president does is an official act.
Mm-hmm.
You do whatever the fuck you want. If it is a like, former president or a private citizen, if he does something that is a private matter, that is a non-official act, basically, then those are not covered by immunity. Okay. Then Trump's lawyer was asked, I believe it was by Elena Kagan, right? Like she just went straight down the list of like, here's all the things your boy is
it was Barrett, actually, I think.
That, oh, that's right. You're right.
That,
yeah.
That pursued this question of all people. Like she was weirdly like, reasonable. You know, she was weirdly lib curious during this argument.
maybe I'm going to go the other way. You never know. Maybe I'll do a little Sandra Day O'Connor situation. You never know, right? You know, Reagan was pissed. Like, God damn it. What happened to you? But by the way, it's only sort of in this fucking nutball group. But for the most part, Supreme Court justices tend to get more liberal over time. Like, I don't know if people realize that. But when you hear enough cases, you're like, I mean, these people are human beings, for God's sake. Like, they actually become more liberal. Like, this is a thing that...
Hold on to that thought for the next story. But
right. But this is fucking horrendous. But what I'm saying is, until recently, like the Heritage Foundation was like, how do we get test tube babies made of conservatism onto the Supreme Court? Like, because they got tired of putting these people who they thought were reasonable conservatives, and they get on the court and they're like, I don't believe in any of this. Like this is insane.
No more suitors, as the phrase goes.
Yeah, so they didn't want it anymore, right? So I mean, from their perspective, I'm not saying it's right, but from their perspective, it makes sense, right? So okay, but getting back to this, so if it's an official act, this is where the conservatives seem to be coming down on. If it's an official act, total immunity. If it is a non-official act, then it is not covered by immunity. Now, Amy Coney Barrett asked these questions of like, all of the things that Trump is being charged with in these other cases, like, would this be covered? Would this be covered? Would this be covered? And every single one of them, Trump's lawyer is like, well, that's not an official act. So, no, those would not be covered. Okay, so none of those are covered by presidential immunity. Why are we still here?
Well, so because some of them are.
Answer, the scary part is what the answer to that likely is.
Well, some of them are, and Trump's lawyers are trying to argue that without these official act charges, that the entire case would fall apart. And the Jack Smith folks were just like, yeah, we could still definitely pursue a case without these charges, but like that's not the fucking point here. Like the point here is like the president doesn't have criminal immunity. What the fuck are you guys doing? And so what most people think is going to happen here is they're going to rule on it, but they're going to do it in the dumb SCOTUS way that they love to do, where they don't actually make a decision on the core topic at hand, but they gum up the works enough that the question's going to get sent back down to the district court, and like Tiny Chuckin's going to have to run through all these like different tests to see like if these charges hold water, and then Trump's group can appeal. And it's just going to slow things down so that you can't have the trial before the election. Like, even if they made the decision, no, the president doesn't have immunity from crimes that he commits while in office or allegedly commits. Even if that were to happen, it would still be a very tight timeline. If the start of the trial gets delayed anymore, it's going to make it almost impossible to have it before November. Now, Judge Chutkan is a fair-minded person. I would think that if the trial was butting up, like if we get to like September and it's like, we haven't started this thing yet, she's going to be like, all right, like we have to wait now until after November. I say, fuck that. If you didn't file all these appeals, like you wouldn't have to be in court while you should be finishing out not your campaign. Here in October, not my fucking problem. Sorry.
Yeah, sounds personal to me. Look, I mean, we've long said that the Supreme Court was likely to do some fucking narrow horseshit.
Oh yeah. My other favorite thing also came from Brett Kavanaugh, who wanted to tamp down on the overreach and the prosecution of special prosecutors. That's something that he was really worried about. I want to remind you that Brett Kavanaugh worked on Kenneth Starr's staff when Kenneth Starr was the special prosecutor to investigate Bill Clinton. Yeah. So
you don't want to overreach.
Apparently he's turned. That experience formed him, and he's changed his opinion now on special counsels. By the way, that special prosecutor rule that used to exist doesn't exist anymore. Like the powers that Jack Smith has are way less than like Kenneth Starr has as a special investigator, because they let that provision lapse and did not renew it because of how fucked up the Ken Starr shit was. So not even a problem, but you know, Brett Kavanaugh wants to make sure that these special prosecutors aren't reaching too far to go after these executive branch criminals. Folks. Cause we know Brett Kavanaugh fucking loves the unitary executive theory. He's all about it. He's a big fan. So, and by the way, like the other reason that this is such a fucking joke is because they very badly, and when I say they, I mean the conservative justices on the Supreme Court, very badly want Trump to win again. Because, I mean, fucking Thomas and Alito are not trying to have to spend 4 more years on the court. Like, they want to retire and be replaced by cloned 35-year-old versions of themselves that can then be appointed to the Supreme Court by Republicans.
In perpetuity, right? Like,
yeah.
And look, that's why I hate to relitigate 2016.
Do you actually hate to relitigate 2016? Or do you like to smash people in the face of the cudgel and be like, you fuckers did this, all of you.
Yeah. Okay.
You didn't vote for Hillary.
To quote, what is it, Heisenberg from fucking Breaking Bad. You got me. Like, all right. I get there are so many things going on, and we're going to talk about the college campus situation, which is a new big story, although very familiar. And I'll be interested.
Like weirdly familiar. Can't wait to talk about it. So.
Yeah. Gee, I wonder where we've seen this before. I can think of two very prime examples of it. And look, I support those kids. I don't have a problem with their doing it at all. And I understand Gaza is a huge thing. But I need people to understand, and this is like we talk about this all the time, politics is not a zero-sum game. As much as we love to pretend that it is, and it's like, I've got one thought, and that's it. Like, that's not how politics work. And it actually benefits the worst type of people if you only vote like that, right? And you're not discerning and you're not nuanced in it. You could be super mad about something, but don't throw away the Supreme Court for a fucking generation because you're just mad about one topic.
Yeah.
I would rather fight with a person I agree with 80% or 90% of the time than have my ability to fight taken away.
Or I'll give it to you another way, because I was listening to an interview that AOC did with Mehdi Hassan with his new media venture, which is excellent, by the way, the media venture. So you should check that out. It's called Zateo. I'm a subscriber. Nice. But I listened to an interview that she did, and he basically asked her, he's like, hey, he's like, you came out and, you know, full-throatedly endorsed to reelect Joe Biden, but you disagree with him on a lot of shit, and there's a lot of things that you've been very outspoken about being critical of him. So how can you square that with endorsing him? And she's like, look, she's like, there's a lot of things that I disagree with the president on, and there's a lot of things that he's done that I think is really good, and there's some things that he's done that I think is, you know, okay, that he could have did better. But she's like, if you're someone who is trying to organize and trying to fight for the things that you want on the left, would you rather organize under a Joe Biden presidency where you have someone who actually will be receptive to what you're saying, and maybe he won't do everything you want, but he'll at least listen to you? Or would you rather organize under the Donald Trump presidency where you know that they're not going to listen to a fucking word that you have to say because they have their own agenda that they're trying to push?
And by the way, and I don't want this to sound like fear-mongering, but you may not be allowed to assemble.
Yeah.
Understand that.
We literally have Republican courts trying to knock that right down, or trying to pour cold water on the right to peaceably assemble, which is guaranteed, by the way, in the First Amendment. Just saying.
Yeah, but it's not the Second Amendment.
It's not the Second Amendment. I know.
I mean, two is bigger than one, Brad. That means it's more important.
True.
Everyone knows.
That's true. That is why the 27th Amendment is literally the most important amendment. Congress gets pay raises.
It wouldn't be 27 if it wasn't super. It wasn't 27 right. times more important than free speech. Everyone knows.
That's correct.
So that's how I see it. So, yeah, look, you just have to understand that as much as you are 100% correct, please don't throw yourself into a situation that you cannot get out of. And also, like, I don't always think just as a for instance. I don't always think – actually, I can't think of any president, Democrat or Republican, that has done all the best things by black people, very specifically, right? Some try. Some don't even give a fuck to try. And they all fall short of that. And they fall short in ways that I cannot express that are incredibly frustrating to me and irritating to me and that sadden me, right? Where they don't go after guns enough, or they don't go after, you know, handling drug policies in proper ways, or, you know, prison reform, or, you know, issues of racism, like violent racism, or issues with cops killing black people. Those are my people, and I watch that shit happen, and it is heartbreaking to me. As heartbreaking as it is, throwing away the access to the Supreme Court is still not a solution. By going, throw my hands up, I'm going to vote for a third party person who's not going to win, thus helping the Republicans, or not voting at all, or voting for a Republican. It doesn't fix anything. It makes me frustrated, and now I'm doubly frustrated by all the bullshit that the Republicans are going to do. So as much as you are angry about Gaza, and you have every right to be, you still got to fight for the other thing. Because if you lose democracy here, what the fuck do you think happens? You think Gaza gets better? It doesn't. It gets worse. So yeah. Again, that's not chastising people for what they believe. It is just trying to hopefully break
acknowledge,
into that.
Acknowledge reality.
It is. It's just political reality, man.
Yeah.
Oh, none of them are going to do anything. That's a very simple-minded way of looking at things. Like it is. And I look, yeah. Emotions.
Or if I vote for Biden, I'm endorsing all these bad things. You're not.
You're not.
You're not at all. You're just acknowledging that he's a better option than the other guy that's there.
That's it.
That's all you're saying.
And this is why the better of the two evils. No, one person's not necessarily evil. They just disagree with something that they disagree with you. But we have to stop using like biblical language. It's fucking stupid, and
just as simple as like, oh, they're both the same. They're not both the same. They are fundamentally not the same. If they were the same, then they'd be like, well, you know, I believe all the same things that this guy does. So just flip a coin, I guess. Like it doesn't really fucking
matter. They're not in the same party. No. They don't believe the same things. Like, yeah, do they have, you know, are they not great? Both not great on a certain issue? Sure. But there's this weird thing. I believe it was title of our last episode, nuance. Selling out to big nuance, right? Like, nuance is fucking hard. It is. It's fucking hard. It is. And when you lack that nuance in these topics, you do nothing but damage to yourself. Ultimately,
by the way, they're not the same. They're not the same on Gaza either. Like we don't have the specific Gaza story, so it's fine to talk about it here. But one person is like, hey, like, you know, we still need to support Israel. And yeah, we're still sending them stuff, but I'm still talking to them. I'm still having my envoys go over there and talk to them to try to, you know, to try to mitigate what they're doing. And I'm speaking publicly saying that they need to, you know, be, you know, exercise more humanitarian aid. And then the other guy's like, yeah, they need to go finish the job. That's literally what Trump said. Like, they need to go finish the job.
Meanwhile, Jared Kushner is like, hey, you can put some great apartments here. I mean, like, he literally
great waterfront property potentially.
Yeah, that's literally what he said. Strip. If you think those are the same thing, like, they're not. They're not at all. And by the way, Trump isn't going to help Israel either, right? Like, you're just going to end up having more people attack Israel and more anti-Jewish sentiment and things like that because he's going to be like, take the gloves off. And that's not good either, right? So nobody wins under a Trump presidency. They simply don't.
Yep.
And again, doesn't mean the Biden presidency is perfect. It shouldn't be the argument of this isn't perfect, so obviously it's the same as this. That's a terrible argument. But people do it. It's weird.
The other case that the Supreme Court heard.
Let's take a break. Okay. Yeah, let's take a quick break, and then we're going to come back to the SCOTUS. Okay.
Yeah. So the other one they heard. So for those that don't know, there is a law that's in place. I can't remember what the name of the statute is, but there's a federal law that says that emergency rooms are required by law to provide care to people that need stabilizing care. They cannot refuse to treat you if you need stabilization. The reason they did this is because you had private hospitals back in the day that, you know, if you came in presenting with an issue. You know, check your wallet first. Do you have insurance? Do you have money? No. Well, then we're not going to treat you here. Go to the public hospital down the street. So they made a federal law so that you could literally walk into any emergency room. And if you need stabilization, you can get it. Well, the state of Idaho has said, well, we're not going to permit our emergency rooms to administer any emergency care that may result in the abortion of a fetus. Because we don't like abortions here, and so if what you need done means that you're going to lose your fetus, then kick rocks. Like, we're not going to treat you. That's their law in Iowa, and so obviously these two things are in conflict.
Wait, Iowa or Idaho? You said Idaho.
Idaho. I'm sorry. Idaho is what I meant to say. Yeah. Now, when you have two laws that are in conflict, the state law and a federal law, there is a provision in the Constitution that says that when you have two laws that are in conflict, the federal law takes precedent. So I don't care what your state law says, you're going to treat these people. Well, Idaho's like, no, we're not going to do that. Let's fucking sue you to stop this. And so now this is before the Supreme Court. And basically the argument was, well, you know, you can't make Idaho, you know, give abortions to people that, you know, when they don't want to do that.
Right.
So, like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. And it was funny because, like, the Solicitor General who argued these things for the federal government was basically throwing out, like, hypotheticals that were like, hey, like, if this, you know, if a woman comes in and she's literally suffering, like, organ failure, and the only way to stabilize her is to, unfortunately, you know, to lose this baby, you're telling me that's okay? Like that's what you're willing to have happen? And basically the defense, the Idaho lawyer was like, well, you know, it's a very rare circumstance that such a thing would ever happen. Like I can't imagine a situation where, you know, your organs would be failing that, you know, you could also carry a viable pregnancy. Well, then guess what? Like, you just fucking do it and you deal with it. And what's funny is that
they were literally debating on how many organs a woman could lose.
Right. And what's funny is that one of those organs that you could potentially lose is a uterus, which means that not only will you not be able to have this child that you currently have, but you'll never be able to have another child ever again. If you're the specific woman, but because we don't want to harm this unborn child, as they call it, I call it an inviable fetus.
Yes.
Because we don't want to harm. Yeah. Because we don't want to harm that. We're not going to do these things. And it sure does seem like the conservative justices are also going to rule in this favor. So we don't want government overreach when it comes to holding the highest office in the land to account to follow the laws that are laid out for us. But we're fine with government overreach when it means not treating women who come into hospitals for emergency care.
Yeah, Republicans have this really weird thing where they think government overreach only matters on the federal level, but doesn't matter on the state level. It's like, bro, it's still a government. They're like, no, but it's like a little government. Like, it's just like a little guy. Government.
And by the way, the examples that the Solicitor General was bringing up were not like entirely hypothetical. Like, they were based on real
stories,
real cases that have happened, real things that have happened in the past.
Look, man, I don't know where America will end up, but I do know this. We need an intellectual revolution where you have actual smart people making smart arguments. Even if you don't agree with them, they at least live in a realm of reality. How many organs could a woman lose, Brad? Take a pancreas, just grab a little of this, a little of that. Look, you got two kidneys. You can afford a kidney. Like, the right talks about the sanctity of life so often. It's like if you say a word a bunch of times and it starts to lose meaning. that they've forgotten that life also is contained, not just – a woman is carrying the potential for life, but a woman is alive. She is a live person. She is a life. And they become so desensitized through these like wackadoodle arguments that they're literally going, oh, I mean, I just take the uterus and then we don't have to worry about an abortion. Hey, dum-dum, you can't have kids after that. Don't worry about it. Oh, we'll figure it out. Oh, did you want to freeze some eggs and like, you know, maybe like do surrogacy later? No. Not IVF? Absolutely not. We're not going to do that. No. It's like,
no.
By the way, we need people to have more kids. Then why are you making it harder to have more
kids? Right.
Like, it doesn't, none of this makes any sense. It's just this idea of control. That is at the end of the day.
And you and I talk about this all the time. I don't know why. If you're a conservative on the Supreme Court or just a normal government conservative, why are you not trying to save your dumb states from themselves? Because this might not be a big deal to you as a state tomorrow or next week or in 6 months or a year. But if you continue to put these restrictive practices in place that doctors are literally afraid to be able to treat patients in your state, they're going to go somewhere else. Like for Idaho, Washington State is right fucking there. They are more than happy to take your best doctors and have them be in Washington. And who does that fuck at the end of the day? Idahoans or whatever the fuck you say to the potatoes. People that live in Idaho.
They're just called
potatoes. Yes,
I think they're
potato heads. Potato heads.
Shout out to Idaho.
That's all you're hurting at the end of the day. You're hurting your own citizens. Yeah. To get substandard medical care in your state.
Now, in fairness to right-winger logic, they would argue that it only hurts women and they don't care about women fundamentally. So they're like, is it that bad? Right?
You think just like OBs and those kind of doctors are going to leave the state? This will absolutely bleed over to. Because if they're willing to do it for abortion, what's the next hobby Republican hobby horse going to be?
Right.
What are they going to find that, you know, that they find offensive to their weird 1950s morality system?
The funny thing is, I don't even feel like it's a 1950s morality. It's a quasi reality situation. Like, I don't know. Maybe Republicans, and it's possible that Republicans live in whatever universe the man in the high tower is happening, right? Like, I just don't understand how you can look at 2024 and look at the reality, especially the political reality, like you're talking about, right? Like, doctors leaving, right? Republicans all day, everyone's leaving California to go to Texas. Dude, doctors are leaving all of your states. Like, why don't you talk about that? That is a level of economic drain, that is a level of healthcare drain, and as a level of brain drain too. Just intelligent people living in your state, right? They have families and everything else. Those people are gone. So economically, intellectually, politically, this is a disaster for you. And so I guess my argument is, what are your plans for when this also starts to hurt you politically, like straight up, right? Where when Republican voters, or Republican women very specifically, are in the suburbs and they're like, we can't get health care. Republican women in the cities can't get OBGYN appointments, or they're backed up for six months and stuff like that.
It's not like fucking Boise is some like fucking hick back town.
No, it's a major city. Right. Right. Jesus. Like it's amazing how they just don't think of that. And so like there's many things that Republicans don't think about when it comes to their policies, but you should at least think about the politics of it, is that you're going to end up having conservative women decide that you shouldn't be in power anymore because they're not getting basic services. But I mean, I guess maybe they're just like, well, we'll just make them handmaids and like we won't have to worry about it. So I don't know what the sort of, if there is, I shouldn't even say what it is, but I don't know that there's any forethought about what this is going to do.
There isn't, because I don't know a single Republican, or a lot of Democrats for that matter, if I'm being honest, but I really don't know a single Republican who doesn't think any further than their next election. Like that's literally the next thing that they're always worried about, essentially. Yeah. And it's about making sure that you keep that red meat quotient at a complete high to make sure that you can still win a primary, because that's really what it's all about in a lot of these areas. So
you ain't lying. Yeah. All right, let's talk about college campuses.
Well, before we get there, just to tie a bow in this, if I have not radicalized you enough over these last several weeks about major Supreme Court reform that's needed in this country, when will you wake up and call for court expansion, somehow like creating nonpartisan panels on the Supreme Court so that we don't have our like all of our fucking lives tied up in what whoever happens to be the president when somebody dies? Because that's literally what the Supreme Court is right now.
Yep.
It seems untenable to me. But what do I know?
Because it is.
Yeah.
It's absolutely untenable. You're 100% correct. All right, let's talk about college campuses. So right now, college campuses all over the U.S., quite a few. Six.
Over 140, I think, currently.
Yeah.
But most notably at Columbia University in New York is where a lot of the attention is being focused right now. So.
Shout out to Columbia. My wife should be proud. That's her alma mater. Look, these kids, they're doing what young people are supposed to do.
Yeah.
They're mad about something and they're protesting their fucking hearts out about it. And look, I love them for it. I do. Yeah. Like, look, I am officially in my mid-40s. Look at this gray, Brad. Look at it. Sad. I'm in my mid-40s, and for me, when I was their age, the Iraq War was our protest, right? And we were out there doing protests, and we protested even when Trump got into office and shit like that. This is a rite of passage for giving a fuck about your democracy and America's role in the world. Every generation should have this, and this is nothing but a good thing to see young people fucking fired up. I want them to take this energy, and I want them to focus it properly, though, because it is very easy to take this type of energy and have it bent the wrong fucking way if you're not paying attention. And that's what I'm talking about as far as don't let one topic fuck the democracy that you live in, right? Mm-hmm. But you got every right to be mad. So these kids are protesting because they want the war in Gaza to end. Right, they are seeing an unbelievable amount of death and destruction of the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, right, post October 7th. And what they are asking for, I think, is a completely reasonable thing, which is they are asking for their colleges and their institutions to divest from Israel because they see it as a direct – them funding or giving money to these organizations, they see it as a direct connection to them being able – for the IDF to wage war on innocent Palestinians. Yeah, I 100% agree with you. And for me, watching this, this is similar to the protest of getting college campuses and businesses to divest in South Africa. That's what it reads to me. Same thing.
That, and this is the thing that blows my mind, is that people covering the story and people that are upset with the protesters, people like fucking Tom Cotton's talking about, like, oh, fucking bring, you know, send in police and fucking bash heads in and shit like that. And like, this not this fucking cool, nonsense. Bro.
Cool.
Yeah, very, very, very cool. There's a history of this in this country. Like, a lot of these people that are upset about this, like, either you or your parents would not surprise me if they protested the Vietnam War on a college campus.
That's right.
Back in the 60s and 70s. Like, that's not, you know, like, you know, to your point, like protesting apartheid in the 80s, the Iraq War. The Gulf War, like Occupy Wall Street, like there's a million of these fucking protests.
But that's what this is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
This is a part. This is the passage, man. Like, I, that's why I'm so proud of them. I'm like, this is your moment. I'm not proud of what the fuck is happening in Gaza. I wish it were not. But this.
Well, I'm also not proud of what's happening. I'm also not proud at the response to the protest, because again, as we've talked about on this fucking show, apparently in the mainstream, it's impossible to criticize things that the Israeli government is doing without being labeled or framed as an anti-Semite.
Right, which is horseshit.
Yeah.
Look, shout out to Bernie. Bernie was like, get the fuck out of here with that logic. Like, he immediately knocked it down. Like, no. He's like, no. He's like, I'm related to Larry David. Look at my face. Even I think this is bullshit. And rightfully so. Look, there are anti-Semitic sentiments inside the U.S. That are voiced by people, and those are things that should be knocked down and should be called out. It's 100% a thing. Mm-hmm. Not every criticism of the Israeli state equals anti-Semitism. That's bullshit. It's bullshit. And maybe this is an opportunity to knock that argument down for good. You shouldn't just be like, we got to get out of jail free card. We get to do whatever we want and you can never criticize us. That's bullshit. That's bullshit. I mean, it's hard to have a conversation with certain people because they're like, you're riding the line. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I have Jewish friends, right? Like, which is like the worst argument. Some of my friends are Jewish, but they are though. Like, I mean, I grew up next to Pikesville. Like,
even forgetting that aspect of the argument, which is silly. Don't say that.
Yeah, don't say that out loud. It's terrible.
You're not criticizing the Jewish people. You're criticizing a right wing government for doing right wing government shit. Like, that's what you're doing at the end of the day.
Right. I don't like right wing governments in the U.S. I don't like them anywhere. I don't like. It's like green eggs and ham. Like, I don't like them. Okay. So like.
Just I don't like them in Peru. I don't like them doing a coup. Like I don't like any of it.
Very nice. You know what? Like, I may have to go back and like the episode, just like Photoshop Netanyahu and like the green eggs and ham. Like, but that's the problem. Is you have, and I said this when this shit started. You have two right-wing governments that are pushing people in the middle, innocent people on both sides, who are stuck between these two right-wing governments shooting at each other over top of their heads and pushing and pushing and pushing them into each other and saying, see what they did, see what they did, see what they did, right? And that's what spurs this type of shit, right? One guy, let's keep building settlements, let's keep building settlements. Oh, really? Did you build it on this controversial area? Oh, look, they blew it up. See, they're terrible. Let's all attack them. Oh, the fucking terrorist group hates Israelis. Oh, what? Why don't we just let them do the October 7th thing, even though we have previous knowledge? Oh, look, they did October 7th. Now let's go flatten the entire Gaza Strip.
Yeah.
They knew. And they do this shit because for them to stay in power, this perpetual war has to stay in place. That's not a Jewish thing. It's actually
that's both sides. That's a Netanyahu coalition thing.
Right. That's a government issue. And also Hamas engages in the same shit. They're not innocent in this, right? The argument, oh, Hamas is innocent. No, the fuck they're not. But that's not at the heart of what is going on. At the heart of the matter is innocent people are being killed in droves by the IDF. That is at the heart of the matter. And if you are a kid on that college campus and you are protesting this shit because you see this shit on TV and you're disgusted by it, I'm proud of you. That's what you should do.
Yeah. And by the way, raise your hand if you're surprised that the fervor of some of these protests has changed when police involvement has been ushered in for an otherwise peaceful protest. All of a sudden, the cops come in. Shockingly, things get escalated. Not like we haven't seen this before in the last four years or anything like that. And now, all of a sudden, the protesters are being blamed for not demonstrating peacefully when they absolutely fucking are. Like, and again, like the protesters, it is not a pure Palestinian, you know, like anti-Jewish thing. Like you have Jewish students, you have pro-Palestinian students, like protesting together.
Yeah, because hurts everyone. This shit hurts everyone. All the innocent people caught in the middle. They should be. They like. To me, this. When you make the arguments like these, sort of what I would argue are surface level arguments, where it's just us versus them. You miss the point. You're all being screwed by two right-wing governments. And until you can figure that part out, you have to stop pushing against people who just happen to be, you know, ethnically on this other side. They're not your enemy. You have more in common with the average Palestinian as a Jewish person in Israel than you have with the right-wing psycho government that runs your country. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. You are easily used fodder. Oh, we're being criticized. Look, let's see what they're saying about us. Oh, well, yeah, I know. Anti-Semitism, right? They use you. They used your history. They use bigotry towards you as a shield for their horrendous behavior. So if you're going to, like, if you're an Israeli kid or you're a Jewish kid, you should be standing with these people. You should be standing with these people. And if you're one of these kids who's, you know, pro-Palestinian, you should be standing with these Jewish kids. But you should be making the argument about the government, not about Jews, not about Palestinians, about the governments, about Hamas and the IDF. That is your argument. That is a solidifying argument that could do serious damage to right-wing bullshit, is to get those two groups together. You guys are victims. These people are victims of two right-wing governments. And when the world realizes how shitty right-wing governments are, and they always eventually do, everybody goes, enough of this. That is just a reality. It's just, that's what's happening. And it's happening all over the world, by the way. Right? We had this big Russian of all of these authoritarians and authoritarian light type characters. And now you're seeing the fruits of that. The disgusting fruits of that, which is a bunch of people cracking down on innocent people and starting wars and shit like that. That's what happens.
But you're also seeing the pushback now.
Yes, finally. Well.
Like, you're starting to see that, you know, go back the other direction. So
yeah. So look, I appreciate that they're fighting and they should continue to fight. I hope that they're safe, but I hope we don't end up at like a Kent State type situation. Mm-hmm. I'm terrified that
that's the fear, right? I mean, you know, unfortunately, considering that law enforcement loves to escalate this shit, that's where you worry that things are going to end up at. So,
yeah. So I'm hoping it never gets there. All right, let's take a quick break and come right back. All right. I didn't know this until a couple of days ago that. Mm-hmm. A friend of the show, Micah, was a huge Christy Noem fan. Because he is an asshole. No, I'm kidding. Christy Noem doubles down on story about killing her dog from memoir. Quote, I decided what I did. It's a weird statement. Like, yeah, I know. Like, of course you decided what you did. What are you, a robot?
Yeah.
Like, don't say that.
So for those who didn't see this, so Kristi Noem recently released or is releasing her memoir, because this is what you do when you're desperately trying to become a vice presidential candidate, is you're trying to get as much exposure as you possibly can. And there's a story in her memoir that she had a 14-month-old hunting dog that they had difficulty training and was aggressive and not listening. And so rather than, you know, maybe take that dog, if you can't manage the dog yourself, but rather than, you know, take that dog to a shelter or to help find another home for the dog that might be a little more accommodating, she fucking killed
it. Yeah, she shot it fucking in the head in a gravel pit. Conservatives are weird, man. Like, you guys are fucking weird.
Very.
The dog was showing, you know, aggressive behavior. Then just give the dog away. The fuck did you have to kill the dog for? What did the dog do? By the way, it's a dog. It's not as smart. It might be smarter than Kristi Noem. Because there's no way I would have put this in my fucking memoir. But, yeah, just give the dog away, or like you said, take it to a shelter. Or here's an idea. This is a weird thought process. Get a professional trainer. Just get a trainer to come.
You can afford it. You're doing spots for the dental company that installed your new veneers. You got the money to do this shit. So
did she go to a veneer tech? Right, like
I don't know where she went, but she definitely got them installed, because like I said, she's trying real hard to get that BP spot.
I'm starting a new rumor that Kristi Noem got her veneers done by an unlicensed veneer tech. Which, if you don't know anything about that story, do yourself a favor. It is the weirdest rabbit hole of all time. People doing veneers that are not dentists, guys. Like, they're just doing it at your house. It's fucking insane. Don't do that. So, yeah. I find that this story about Kristi Noem is a prime example of how far can you push MAGA off the cliff, right? Now, they like her. They like her a lot. She was definitely going to be a person who was going to be considered for Trump's VP spot. Are they going to say, this is enough, we like dogs here, like, also, like, this is some psycho shit? Or will they allow her to double down and be like, well, sometimes you got to do that because you're tough and all this other stuff? Now, by the way, Trump hates dogs. So
he does. So I was gonna mention that. This might actually be a point in her favor.
Yeah, she was like, she probably shot like the dog. Like, because of Trump, she was like, I bet he'd like this.
Well, that's always one of his preferred like insults. Like when he talks about like someone doing something poorly, he always says, "Oh, they were like a dog. They were like
died like a dog."
That's a go to for him. Yeah, it's a go to. I mean, look, if they haven't been pushed off the edge at this point, when you have a president who is a fake Christian, a serial adulterer,
how dare you, Brad?
Like a proud one. A criminal, like, you know, 91 indictments or 80 indictments, however many indictments he has sitting outside right now, owes $500 million for fraud. You know, keep naming them. Like keep naming all the things.
Sells Bible.
If that's not going to push them away, you know, fucking dog killer is going to really get people's goat. Come on.
Can you imagine she gets chosen to VP? It's like, here's a serial adulterer and, you know, general
and the puppy murderer.
Yeah, the puppy murderer. It's like, we're running for president. Like, it's a hell of a team, guys. Hell of a team.
Yeah.
I think it's a dirtbag thing to do. Like, I have a dog. I've had many dogs. I love dogs, right? But it's also just a dirtbag thing to do because you're killing an animal that you didn't need to kill. Right, like, it's not like if she told a story of I hit a deer and the deer was dying on the side of the road and I had my gun and I put it out of its misery. I'm not mad at that story. Like, I'm not. I'm like, all right, I mean, it's like a little wild, but like, I'm not mad about it. I'm like, did you have to brag about it? That seems crazy. But I'm not mad about it. Like, that makes sense. But you're just like, I couldn't handle this dog, so I shot a puppy in the head in a gravel pit. I'm sorry. Are you mentally ill? You know, when you kill animals, they think that you're a fucking sociopath. or a psycho.
And then, like I said, doubling down after after being called out for it. Like, you could have been just been like, yeah, like, you know, not a great story, and, you know, in retrospect, I probably shouldn't have done that. No, her quote was, in regards to the story, quote, "It wasn't easy, but often the easy way isn't the right way," meaning I had to kill the dog. It was hard, but I had to do it. That was the only choice.
Now, here's the thing. I feel like Trump likes that. Like, I feel like the thing that maybe Kristi Noem has learned, and I think many people have learned if you're paying attention to politics, especially in the era of Trump, is he never apologizes for anything. No matter ludicrous, no matter how insane it is, he never does. And she may have learned
that. I was listening to I was listening to an interview with Salman Rushdie that he did recently. And they talked about the fact that, because he was talking about when he wrote the Satanic Verses, like, kind of the ways that he dealt with that, because his initial reaction, because he's someone who is a normal human being that can feel shame, is like, oh, did I do something wrong? Right. And he's like, and the problem with doing that is when you, there's almost a problem sometimes with apologizing, because like when you apologize for something, like, you're the person who's accusing you, like, you give them like the credence, like, yeah, I'm right. Like, even if they're coming at you from like a weird angle, like, if you just do the, you know, same thing and apologize, you're somehow giving their argument credence.
Right.
And that's what he talks about. He talks about like Trump, and he talks about like Boris Johnson, stuff like that. He's like, they actually have like, it's like their ability to never feel sorry or to have no shame. It's like a superpower in this world that we live in, because it inures them from the normal, like, how people react to that. And to your point, I think you're right. I think part of this is she's just adopting that Trump stance of never apologize for anything. Also, Trump probably supports that if an animal is a minor inconvenience to you, kill it, just murder it and get it out of the way.
Yeah, so he doesn't like dogs, and he doesn't like sharks. He has like a real weird thing about sharks.
That's very strange. Yes,
I mean, look, if this was a video game, his death would be, he'd be thrown off the fucking side of a boat. Like, that's what would end up happening, man. So yeah, it's a weird story, but I think that's the key takeaway, is that she has learned, in order to appeal to MAGA and more importantly to appeal to Trump, never back down, never apologize for anything. That's a dangerous fucking personality trait, by the way. It's a super dangerous one. Because,
by the way, it's not something you want in a leader either. Like you don't want someone that doesn't have the ability to be introspective or to reflect on decisions that they made or things they did and realize that, like, oh, you know, maybe I don't think this is a good idea. Perhaps. Right.
I mean, look at Trump. He's not sorry that he cheated on Melania with Stormy Daniels. He's sorry he got caught.
Yeah.
That's it. And McDougal. Like, he's just sorry he got caught. He doesn't give a fuck about the fact that she's sad, probably. He likely just doesn't care. Just doesn't give a shit. All right. Let's talk about Nikki Haley. This is a fun little story that kind of fell under the radar. But the Pennsylvania primary was recently. I think it was this past Saturday or a couple days ago. I can't remember the actual date. April 24th, I believe, or April 23rd. And Nikki Haley, while she has suspended her campaign a number of months ago at this point, 2 months ago, she still won 17% of the Pennsylvania primary. That's not good. That's not good at all.
I have come around to a different opinion on that at this point with the Nikki Haley vote. I look at Haley vote, people, Republicans voting for Haley, as no different than Democrats voting for undecided, like in a Democratic primary right now, and Biden's really the only viable candidate. Sure. I think it's a protest vote. I think a lot of those Haley voters will come back home when it comes time.
I think for most of them,
them to vote. And I think a lot of them wouldn't have voted for Trump anyway, regardless. So you're not losing those people, because there'll probably be people that didn't vote for him either in 2020. So,
yeah, Here's the thing. I think
it's not good. I mean, it's not a good headline to see, you know, in this, you know, when someone's been out of the race for 6 weeks and all, and they're still pulling in one out of every five voters. So. Yeah.
Now, here's the thing that I think is actually the bigger takeaway from that. I mean, the 17% I think is significant enough that you have this many people doing a protest vote, right? Where did her 17% come from? This is important. Montgomery, Delaware, Chester, Lancaster, and Bucks County, right? These are all big suburbs. The reason that I think you're seeing those numbers, by the way, the numbers are 25%, 24%, 24%, 20%, and 19% of those counties, respectively. I think that's abortion, and that's women's rights, right? I think that is exactly why you're going to see him bleed votes in the general election too. And I think it'll be good to see where he comes down in these particular five counties when it is time to go up against Joe Biden. Is it going to be this high of people just being like, no, fuck off? No. But a 5% increase going the other way, or 5% of people staying home, would do severe damage.
Oh, it would be catastrophic. You'd lose.
So that's what I'm saying. I don't think you're going to get 17% of Republicans, you know, writing in Nikki Haley or not voting or necessarily voting for Joe Biden. I don't think that, but I think you could get 5% that would either stay home or vote for Joe Biden or vote for some third party. And I think that's a serious damage to him. 17% is still an insanely high percentage when you are the only person in the race at this point. So,
yep.
Look, she's still there, man. She's still there. Arizona charges many of Trump's merry band of idiots for election fraud. All right, here you go. You're up.
Yeah. So, much like you saw in Georgia, an Arizona grand jury indicted Rudy Giuliani, Mark Meadows, Boris Epstein, and all of the Arizona fake electors, including a name that I've not heard in quite some time, Kelly Ward, indicted as part of the
Kelly Ward
fake elector scheme. Chemtrail Kelly. She's back. Chemtrail. So yeah, so we're seeing Arizona follow the same beat that Georgia did in terms of indicting Trump and gang for election fraud. I cannot wait to see the plea deals flying fast and free left and right as these fake electors want absolutely fucking nothing to do with any of this smoke coming their way.
Again, this is the easiest way to roll these assholes up. Like, you want to go to jail? Yep. Absolutely not. Let me tell you everything they told me to do.
What do you want to know? I will literally tell you everything you want to know.
I am so scared of prison. Look, these guys absolutely deserve it. There was some tweets from Mark Meadows that Mark Meadows had given to the courts that all got – a lot of that got leaked this week. I didn't have a chance to – like, I read the article, but I don't think it was as in-depth of as interesting to bring to you guys. If there's more that comes out next week, we'll talk about it more in detail. But, yeah, these guys getting the treatment in Arizona – great.
Yeah. Great. Well, and the other best part as part of this indictment is that there were a number of unindicted co-conspirators who were not charged but could still be at some point. And it was pretty obvious to see who those people were. Like, John Eastman was obviously one of them. Donald Trump was obviously one of them. All the people that you would expect. Right. Jenna Ellis, you know, back in the mix. So, like, I would expect that indictments will be coming for a lot of these folks as well down the road. So, yeah. Hey, said, so put, you know, strap yourself in with a fucking loser. This is what you get.
Oh no. Are we getting screwed again? Yep.
It's, you know, it's going to be really, I will be interested to see. Now, obviously, like, he's not going to have the same power apparatus because he's not the president right now. Mm-hmm. But if we run to this shit again and, you know, Biden wins a close election, Trump's like, oh, it's a fraud, because you know he's going to fucking do that. Do you think he has a lot of people now that are willing to run to his side to help him fight this shit state by state? Because now people are seeing, the potential consequences for following this guy into this this battle.
Into the abyss.
Yeah.
So you're basically saying, will you get another army of like Sidney Powells and those sorts?
Yeah.
No. No. I think there are still people who are true believers, but I think the people who are in the business world, I think they figured it out by now. They're a little slow on the uptick, but I think they got it.
But even the true believers, it's like true belief goes a long way until you're staring at the prospect of a fucking prison cell. All of a sudden, that tends to snap the true belief right out of a lot of people. So,
yeah. Yeah. It's, I don't think so. I think when you're talking about going toe to toe with the justice system at this point, I just can't imagine these people sign up for this shit. Like a fresh new group of idiots, like the old school idiots. Giuliani's like, I'm going down with the shit, baby. Like, all right, you will, you fucking will.
Dude, it would be so fucking funny to me if Rudy Giuliani died in prison. Died in prison. It would be the ultimate coda to just fucking finishing the life and times of the worst fall from grace in societal history.
It's pretty good. I don't know if you heard, but you know, Peter Navarro is in prison, obviously. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. And he filed for a motion to be let out early, and they were like, denied, stay in there. I was like, damn it. I don't like it here. It's scary. Like, dude, you're in Club Med. Shut up.
Yeah. You're not in federal pound in the ass prison.
Yeah, dude. Peter Navarro. You know what? We are gonna let you out. And now we're gonna send you to Rikers. Like, oh fuck. You should have stayed where you are. Like, best of luck, dum-dum.
Do you want to go to Supermax? No, don't send me to Supermax.
Well, it's too fucking late. You wanted a transfer? You got one. Like, go. I should have stayed where I was. Yeah, so, look, Rudy Giuliani dying in prison. Oh, chef's kiss, man.
Like, it's how it has to end, isn't it? It's how it has to end.
I mean, it would be a good way to go. I mean, look, I'd watch that docuseries. I'll tell you that,
dude. The universe owes us this. Come on, fucking karmic Hollywood scriptwriters. Like, let's make this shit happen.
Yeah, they do. I mean, look, if the ending of Seinfeld taught us anything, Giuliani, Peter Navarro, Trump, and I don't know, pick one of the other, John Eastman, all four of them in a single cell together. As we fade to black, like that would be lovely. As we fade to black, and we hear just playing in the jail television, the next president of the United States, Gavin Newsom. that would be awesome. That's what I would love. So speaking of Donald Trump, it appears that when people say things, it's less important than when they do things, right? It tells a lot more about their actions. Trump tears into Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s family and begs MAGA not to waste votes on Kennedy. I thought Joe Biden was the one that was hurt by RFK Jr. running for president. That's what I was told by people who don't know anything.
Trump must have listened to our podcast last week.
Must have. Look. Yeah. Thanks for listening. Go to jail.
Yeah, he got the straight dope from the people who know. Actually, it is kind of insane to me, like how people think that Kennedy would be more of a detriment to Biden. Because again, like if you look at their positions, please point out the position that like the positions that RFK Jr. holds that are more left leaning than Joe Biden.
Joe Biden doesn't have the balls. The balls, Brad. The leftist balls to put the federal budget on the blockchain.
Okay. That seems to be much more of a libertarian leading policy.
Starts with an L. starts with an L. Checkmate, libs. He's not to the left on anything. He's not. I love that they're just like, oh, his last name's Kennedy. Okay.
All that, of the Kennedys that, again, that, as we've said, that literally is
That's it.
And it doesn't help when you have the Kennedy family coming out here making TV commercials for Joe Biden, being like
we
you know, you know there's an ad that the Biden campaign ran that has like them talking to like Joe Kennedy and Kathleen Kennedy Townsend, who's a lot older than I thought she was. Like, she looks like shit. I thought she was a lot younger when she was lieutenant governor.
She's been around for a million years.
I know. It's like I said, time is a flat circle. But in this commercial, like these Kennedy family members are talking, like they basically describe Biden as, this is very funny to me, probably like the closest embodiment that we have today of RFK.
Wow, dude. They hate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Like, they hate him. And to say that, like, he's more like your father than you are. You punk. Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. What did I do? No, they hate you, dude. The Kennedys at this point are only one step down from the Gosar family and their ads of, our brother's a piece of shit and we hate him. Vote for the other guy. I don't understand why people ever thought this. Like, I feel like if you believed that RFK Jr. was going to do more damage to Biden than Trump, you're a political novice. And like, you believe, and this is the thing I've been thinking about, like, why would they believe this? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, because like policy wise, it obviously doesn't make sense, but it's the name. And I think that Republicans believe that Democratic voters vote like Republicans vote. And meaning they don't discern any level of information. They just hear that this person is a Kennedy or they have a D behind their name. And then like, that's it. They don't look at anything that they believe, right? They believe that.
You don't have to believe that. It's a fact. We literally have a prime example of this from the 2020 campaign, where they did as much as they could, the Republican Party did as much as they could to endorse the independent presidential bid of one Yay West, because they just assumed that, oh, put Kanye on the ballot and all the blacks will vote for him.
Yep.
And that'll take support away from Joe Biden amongst black people.
Yep. That's it. Right? Like, and that was exactly the point I was going with, is they do that with minority votes all the time. Oh, you got a black, just throw a black candidate up, they'll just vote. And it's because they bought into the idea that black people only supported Barack Obama because he was black.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not why. Like, was he a once-in-a-lifetime candidate? Was he charismatic and all that stuff? Yeah. Was he black? Yeah. Were we really proud that he was black? Yes. At the same time, he also aligned with policies we agreed with. If he was Barack Obama, or let's get real, Barry Obama, or like Barry O apostrophe Obama. They're like,
you got to get the Irish.
We got to cover up. We need a makeover. We got to cover all this shit up. But if he was Barry, if he was Barry Obama as a Republican, we wouldn't have just, and he was just like, I'm black. We wouldn't have just voted for him because he's black. That's stupid. And I always give this as an example. In the difference between Democrats and Republicans. When people say, black people just vote for black people, that's all they do. I'm like, one, black people have voted in every election they're allowed to, and they've only been white guys. So I don't understand that argument. It's pretty dumb. It's a pretty dumb fucking argument. But let's take it at its face. In Maryland, when Michael Steele, who used to run the RNC, and he's a Republican, when he ran for governor, he didn't win Baltimore City. Baltimore City is 60%+ black. He didn't win it. You know why? Because he's a Republican. They don't give a fuck that he's black. They care about what party he's in and what policies he has. Oh, he's a Republican? Fuck that guy. That's it. Like, immediately, because they know the policies are all anti-black. So I don't understand this argument. And I don't understand the argument that Democrats vote in that wackadoodle way that Republicans vote. Like, if you put a – I mean, Republicans are the one who believes that, like, RFK Kennedy – you know, RFK Jr.'s uncle is still alive. Or that his cousin who died and in the cousin, 90s yeah. is still alive. So it makes way more sense that you guys – would vote for him because, like, maybe he's the secret to unlock bringing back all the other Kennedys, who, incidentally, were all Democrats. What are you yeah. talking about? None of it makes any sense.
But were they real Democrats though, Jay?
Well, yeah, here, yes. let me put into my let me put into my gematria calculator whether or not that's true. Answer: yeah. No.
Yeah, go read a fucking book about the congressional career of Ted Kennedy and tell me whether or not the Kennedy family are liberals or not.
Yeah, it's like it's fucking weird to me. Pure, huh? Did you know this poll came out? I didn't need to see a fucking poll. He's an anti-vaxxer idiot. Of course he would appeal to the right wing. Duh. They're anti-vaxxing idiots. Like
yeah. But they believe their guy, Jay, and according to Donald Trump, RFK Jr. is far more liberal than anyone running as a Democrat right now. He's a radical left lunatic, according to Donald Trump.
Meanwhile, he floated the idea of having this guy as his VP.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, man, I really missed. Do you remember back in the day, Jay, when like words had specific definitions that meant things and that words were used correctly, and when someone said something, like, it made sense based on what the definition of the words was?
I mean, I vaguely remember this time. The Renaissance, like what year are we talking? 1800s.
It's kind of like how the other Republican thing that they love to do, where they take, like, again, words that mean stuff, phrases that mean stuff, and just use them as stand-ins for other stuff. Like critical race theory has been retired and has been replaced with DEI. When they want to call something great, when they're trying to be racist and trying to be like, oh, this is black, that's DEI now.
Yeah. Yeah. As the mayor of Baltimore said, DEI is just a code word for the N-word. That's it.
Yep.
That's all it is. Oh, he's a DEI mayor. What does that even mean? He was elected with like 70% of the vote. Like, what does that mean? Ah, you know what it means. Wink. Yeah. You're a racist. We got it. We know what it means.
like, you ain't that slick.
Yeah.
You said the same people who thought they were being cute, and they're like, let's go, Brandon. They're never going to know what we mean. Like, no, we know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. Like,
you fucking idiot.
And you're too, and you're too much of a coward to just say, fuck Joe Biden.
Right.
Like, we're adults here, guys. Like, come on. Just say that. What are you afraid of? You're afraid he's going to drone strike your house? I hope he does. So, yeah, it's you're a bunch of fucking cowards. And what happened? Democrats took that shit and judoed that shit, and now they use it, and now you look like fools. You can't even use it anymore. Yeah, see? Smart money. Those are really, really smart. All right, let's take a quick – actually, we're after the hour, so we don't need a break. All right, let's keep going.
This story is case in point.
Maddening to me. Madness.
So you say all the time that Republicans are deeply unserious people.
That is correct.
This story is a shining example of what you mean by that.
Yeah. Look, Bill Barr is a wild dude, man. So he was on CNN, and basically he went on and he was getting interviewed, and the woman asking, I forget her name. She was great, by the way. And she's like, listen, she like reads a tweet from him where reads a tweet from Trump that's basically like, yeah, you know, Bill Barr is like a lazy, dumb idiot, but he is endorsing me for president, so I will take away the word lazy. Like, that's like to paraphrase the tweet. It was actually, like, in fairness to Trump, it was actually really funny.
I mean, that's the kind of shit that he would say, absolutely.
Right. No, dude, It is actually a very funny tweet. But like, she reads the tweet to Barr, and he just starts laughing. He's like, classic Trump is what he says. He was like, yeah. And she's like, well, yeah, what do you think of that? And he was like, yeah, I mean, this is the kind of guy he is.
Oh, no. Sorry, I have the quote at the bottom. It's actually funnier than you're giving it credit for. So he says, wow, former AG Bill Barr, who let a lot of great people down by not investigating capital B, capital F voter fraud in our capital C country, has just capital E endorsed me for president, despite the fact that I called him weak, slow-moving, lethargic, gutless, and lazy. Parentheses, New York Post. I don't know what the fuck that is. But based on the fact that I greatly appreciate his wholehearted capital E endorsement, I am removing the word lethargic from my statement. Thank you, Bill.
I mean, look, I feel like if he wasn't a dangerous like psychopath, yeah. I think that guy's got a tight 10-minute stand-up. Like, I think he does. It's like, could you just not be in government and do anything with anybody else?
Listen, I just think it's funny that, like, again, to go out there and publicly, like, endorse him is to just continually debase yourself over and over and over again. And, like, he will just never stop shitting on you.
Yeah, he's a self-dunking, right? So he says all of this, and he also talks about how Trump would often, in meetings when he got mad when he was president, would call – say, like, we should execute – his rivals. That shit's not funny at all. But again, if you go back to the Supreme Court, would that be an official act? They would say yes. So if Trump is in office, again, God forbid, yeah, is that a cool thing to happen?
Bill Barr's quote, having worked for him and seen him in action, I don't think he would actually go and kill political rivals and things like that. You're talking about the potential president of the United States, someone who used to be the former president of the United States, and Bill Barr's literally out here saying, well, I don't think he would actually kill anybody.
Like, the fact that you even have to say, like, a guess is ridiculous, right? The fact that you're even having the conversation is fucking ridiculous, right? By the way, that was the woman interviewing him was Caitlin Collins, and she did a very good job. And look, she was just kind of like, bro, are you serious? Like, like, it's as well, to quote Barr here, he would say things similar to that, talking about executing people. He would say things similar to that on occasions to blow off steam, but I wouldn't take them literally every time he did it. At the end of the day, it wouldn't be carried out and you could talk sense into him. I don't think the threat is there. The thing that I worry about President Trump is not that he's going to become an autocrat and do those kinds of things. Having worked for him, blah, 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 like you were saying. I remember a quote from Bill Barr. I saw him say it, so I don't have to think it was taken out of context. He said that if you believe in Trump's agenda and you believe in the policies that Trump espouses, Donald Trump is the worst person to get those things done because he is unfocused. He's, you know, he's basically unserious about things. He doesn't want to do the hard work. But this same person is saying that the guy who threatens jokingly, according to him, jokingly, I don't think it's that much of a joke, jokingly talks about executing his rivals and is an unserious person who's not good at policy and wouldn't get any of his agenda actually done. He's still going to vote for him. This coming,
yeah, because he's better than the progressive agenda, according to his words, and that's why these people are wholly unserious. Because if you're going to sit there and shit talk this dude to death, and then be like, but at least he's not a Democrat, like we joke about that on the show all the time, like right. he's fucking murdering people out here, but he's not a Democrat. Like right. That's a ridiculous fucking thing to think. But here's Bill Barr actually saying it. Here's the quote from him. Trump may be playing Russian roulette. That's funnier than Bill Barr probably intended it to be. But a continuation of the Biden administration is national suicide, in my opinion.
Okay. You know, certain things can be said out loud. And I think the proper response is, it's not always our turn to talk. Right? Like, sometimes you can just shut the fuck up. You can. Shutting up is free, man. Like, it really is. And this goes to I'm going to use this story to make a bigger point. Bill Barr, as much as I think he's a fucking piece of shit, and I do, Bill Barr has a better grasp on what politics is than most people do, which is even though he thinks that this guy would do all of this damage and would be a terrible person, in his mind, I'm not saying that he's right about the thought process as far as the policies, but in his mind, it is still worth voting for that guy that you disagree with on most things, but not all things. It is more important to keep him in power than to lose to the agenda of the other guy that you vehemently disagree with. So when you hear people talk about, I disagree on Gaza, I'm not voting. Know that people like Bill Barr disagree with Trump, and they're still voting for him. And that's what they bank on.
That's probably most Republicans, by the way.
Right.
Honestly.
Right. And they bank on you on the left to get mad about something and turn the fuck off. They get mad about something and they go, eh, whatever, still got an agenda. Right? Now, do I agree with their agenda? Fuck no. But the point is, they don't see it as a zero-sum game. Now, they are more automatons in this sort of situation, but they're not, and he's debasing himself, right? He's not saying, well, I agree with some of this. He's just like, I don't think Trump would kill a guy. That's debasing yourself.
He's like Bill Barr, like if you take the last, I don't know, 18 months worth of statements that he's given, he has basically come out and said, in plain English, this guy is not fit to lead this country.
Yeah.
Even the most hardened, I shouldn't say all the most hardened, but like even if you're like pissed off with Joe Biden about Gaza, I don't think you're out here being like, this guy's a fucking Looney Tune crazy person that doesn't belong anywhere near the White House. You're like, yeah, he's an old man that, you know, doesn't always agree with me. But like, yeah, he's like an average president or whatever. Like is right. Probably how most people would see. Bill Barr's literally been like, yeah, that dude should be like the furthest person away from the seat of power in this country, but I'm still going to vote for him.
Yep, because for him, it is more important to keep the Republican agenda going. It is more important, like, Barr doesn't, it's clear that Barr doesn't see the presidency as the end-all be-all of power, right?
Mm-hmm.
You still have Congress, you still have the Supreme Court and stuff like that. So he's looking at it clearly as this larger situation. The presidency is not a zero-sum game. And that, to me, should be a warning to people who think, I don't like this one thing, so I'm just going to give up. They don't give up. That's why we lost abortion rights, by the way, because they didn't give up. As much as they were like, I don't like this, they had their eye on the fucking prize. We have to stay together just to get this thing done. And sometimes, I'm not saying ignore those things. I'm saying protest, talk your shit, push as hard as you can. See, they don't push back. They just go, just keep doing what you want. Just keep doing what you want. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is ultimately, you want to be siding and you want to be fighting with the guy that you agree with 80% of the time and not the guy who's going to take your rights away. And these guys, for their twisted fucking logic, they're thinking the same way. But they're not allowing Trump's bullshit to blind them to what their ultimate agenda is, which is, you know, it's this sort of unitarian power structure. But that's what ultimately what they want.
And by the way, that is like I don't think we talk about it enough. But like, if Trump wins, Bill Barr, for all his faults, at the end of the day, was kind of like a normal ass attorney general, you know, trying to skew the Mueller report aside. Like, he was for the most part like a normal ass attorney general. You're not getting a Bill Barr type person in a Trump 2024 cabinet. And not only that, so you're going to get the worst cabinet officials.
I can tell
you. But you're going to have a cop. Oh, yeah. Oh, who, attorney general?
I can tell you my guess.
Oh, do you tell? Go for it.
So here's the deal. This past weekend, Trump had a closed-door meeting with, drum roll, Ron DeSantis. Now.
Oh, yeah, I heard about this.
They can't be from the same state and run together, right? unless he makes Ron DeSantis move, which would be weird as the governor of Florida.
I don't think that works.
Go to Nebraska. Like, oh man, I hate it here. I think that they will. I think the talk is that he's trying to get access to like his fundraising because Trump's fucking broke, right? That's another side of it. But I think you're not going to get that without a promise of something. Keep in mind, Ron DeSantis, for as much as you hate him, he's a lawyer. I could totally see him being like, look, I can't make you VP, obviously, but I can give you something that you could really go after. You could really own the libs as the attorney general. And I could totally see it. 100%.
Yeah, you can see that. Yeah. But not just attorney general, like up and down the cabinet, you get like the worst people. And you'd probably have a Congress who would be more than happy to let them run roughshod with whatever. And you'd have a Supreme Court who would be more than happy to let the executive branch kind of do whatever the fuck it wants. Because as we've seen, their check on executive power only goes as far as who's in the executive branch. Because, hey, you want to ban Muslims from coming into the country, no problem, we got you. Hey, you want to forgive student loan debt, go fuck yourself. You don't have the power to do this.
Yep. Look, if you want the country to get worse, turn off and see how it works out for you. You turn your back on to paraphrase the quote from I lost my train of thought. Turning your back on this country, it will kill you, right? You will be destroyed. It's not a good idea. It's just James Baldwin. Thank you. I was trying to get the quote, but yeah, he basically made a quote that said, listen, as a black man, if you turn your back on this country, you will die. And it is the same for sort of liberal minded folks. If you turn your back on this country and you just let it just go and you just turn the fuck off, you will die. You will lose your rights. They will throw you in jail and they will kill your fucking friends because your job is to fight to keep rights afloat. And if you don't, you will lose them. Whether you die by a bullet or you die because you don't have health care or you die for any other reason, you will die if you just give the fuck up. It is a fact. People have done great things in this country, and they've done them by not turning away but by fighting very much in the front. You just have to. It's going to be a perpetual thing forever, unfortunately. All right, next up. SCOTUS is at it again.
Well, no, they will be. They're not yet, but they will be. So this is a good court news story. There was a federal appellate court that ruled in two cases that state health care plans, so basically like, you know, Medicare plans, have to pay for gender affirming surgeries for transgender folks. They can't exclude them. Because excluding them based on that grounds basically runs counter to the ACA's anti-discrimination provision. So this is great. It just makes sense. It's great for trans folks out there. This is going to absolutely get knocked down in some way, shape, or form by the Supreme Court when it gets there, 100%. So enjoy it now and then get ready to be real mad in 2 years. So
it's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
What are we doing? All right. Last but certainly not least, Biden administration makes it easier for flyers to get refunds. Look, this is a dope little story. Pete Buttigieg, obviously the Secretary of Transportation, kind of came out with these new rules, which are kind of dope. Like basically, Wednesday's rule will make passengers entitled to a cash refund if their flight is significantly delayed, more than 3 hours domestically and 6 hours internationally, or cancel for any reason. Like if the Wi-Fi doesn't work, you can get a partial refund. There's all of these sort of stipulations that they're trying to make it so that airlines can't just like downgrade your seats or change your flight, you know, at last minute and do all of these things that basically fuck you over and there's nothing you can do about it. This is the type of stuff that these are those like little minor things, like minor things around the edges that make differences for people's lives. Right.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this is going to like change the world or whatever, but if you travel a lot or if you travel somewhat and you're getting screwed on fees and all this other stuff, these are the kind of changes people should acknowledge. And then they go, oh, I'm going to get a refund? That's awesome. Yes, the Department of Transportation. Stop telling us that the government can't do anything. They can.
It's not just cash refunds. It's also part of this new package they rolled out. If you have to cancel a trip because you're sick, then the DOT is going to require the airline to give you a voucher or a credit to use at a later time. That's good for up to 5 years. It expands what parts of the ticket have to be refunded, including like taxes and fees and shit like that. It adds stuff. It requires them to not hide fees behind the ticket price, like check bag fees and things of that nature as well. Like all of this stuff that's pro consumer and, you know, anti corporation, like shit that they do that they've been doing for years to try to just squeeze, you know, nickel and dime, you know, consumers and wring as much money out of you as they can. Like, this is all shit that's being looked at and taken care of by the administration. And again, this is a direct result of voting for Joe Biden.
Yep.
Because he decides who's in his cabinet and Pete Buttigieg is making the shit happen.
Yep. And look, there's a couple other things here. Passengers will also be entitled to checked bag fee refunds if they file a report that their bag was mishandled or misplaced and not delivered to them within 12 hours of arrival at their gate within the U.S. They also receive refunds on Wi-Fi or in-flight entertainment that was paid ahead of time but wasn't available once they boarded. So, like, look, these are just simple things, but getting a cash refund in, like, a couple of days can make or break somebody. Like, yo, I paid for that flight, and then I got sick. Oh, sorry, you're out $800 or whatever. Like,
yeah,
I don't know about you, and look, I'm no millionaire, but I don't want to give up $800 to anybody.
Like, yeah. So, meanwhile, I didn't put this story on here, but I guess it warrants mentioning because we're talking about, you know, the direct effect that presidents have on elections. And I guess this technically qualifies as a de facto This Week in Stupid. Jay, have you heard what reports are saying Trump's plan to help the economy is if he gets elected president?
I have not. Oh, God.
You're going to love it. It's fantastic. So basically and again, this is not confirmed. These are reports that have come from people in the know, people that are close to Trump. But he wants to, if he gets back in office, he wants to somehow remove Jerome Powell from head of the Federal Reserve.
Oh, boy.
Appoint a guy that he, you know, whoever he wants to, and somehow change the way the Federal Reserve operates so that he, Donald Trump, the president, can adjust interest rates when he wants to.
Oh my God, what the fuck are you talking about? Are you serious?
Yes.
The world's handling the interest rate for the entire United States at a whim?
Let's cut interest rates by 3 points in the 6 months leading up to the election and watch inflation fucking skyrocket.
Boom. Good night. Oh, am I leaving office? I guess I'll drop the interest rate by 10%. Best of luck, Gavin Newsom. Right? Like, that's the type of...
You mean raise it? Yeah, raise it up to like fucking... Raise interest rate.
Right. Yeah. Like, yeah. Cool. Like, you can... Dude, that is an insane argument that he should have control over interest rates.
There's a reason. There's a reason that the Federal Reserve is insulated from the executive branch and Congress. It's a reason that they're a independently operating part of the federal government, because you don't want political pressure to impact how we're setting interest rates around the country. It would be very bad for that to happen.
Yeah.
You want them to respond to economic concerns.
Yahoo Finance. Trump to set interest rates himself under secret presidential plan. That is fucking bonkers, dude. That is absolutely insane. This guy is the worst businessman in the history of businessmen, but he should be controlling the United States interest rates. Like, again, this unitarian power structure that the Republicans want, one, is bad on its face. With him as the guy, horrendous.
Yeah, ten times worse. But again, this is directly from him bitching during the entire last year of his presidency at Powell not fucking with the interest rates during COVID, because he thought that the reason that we were in, you know, a financial squeeze a little bit and why jobs were getting lost left and right is because, oh, the Fed's fucking me up. It's fucking me over. So of course he wants this. Of course he wants this so that he can play politics with the Federal Reserve, which again, I can't stress enough, would be catastrophic to put that in the hands of someone who has political whims that he's influenced by.
Here's the thought. Why does he even need to do this? It's an official act. Why doesn't he just go, I'm the king now, president,
that's right.
Change that's the right. interest rate, or I'll have them shoot you in the face and throw you in a gravel pit. Why don't you just say that? All right, it's an official act.
Yeah,
again, it's true. They don't give a shit. The Supreme Court doesn't even have the most basic thing in politics going for them, which is self-preservation. They don't even have that. They're like, I don't know, maybe he won't kill us all. Like, I'm not banking on that, man. You think the Supreme
Again,
Court
– it's the old classic, I never thought the leopards would eat my face.
Right. You think the Supreme Court lasts if you allow this guy to be a fucking dictator? Why would he need a Supreme Court? He doesn't
even need – He will as long as they rule how he wants it to rule. So,
but why even have them? Why don't you just dictate from the fucking your gold-plated chair? What do you need them for? You don't need a Federal Reserve. Not a head of the Federal Reserve. You just fucking just do it yourself.
Yeah.
He just has like a little calculator on his desk. And he just presses the number he thinks the interest rate should be that day. He looks at his stocks in the morning. He's like, not doing so great. Fucking, let's change it. So it's ludicrous. Again, I saw quotes from people saying, there's nothing worse than Joe Biden. I'm sorry?
You sure about that?
Yeah. Like, you got to pull your heads out of your collective asses, man. Like, you really do. This is a dangerous fucking time. It is. And if you don't pay attention, this psychopath can get into office again. And, like, y'all think bread is expensive now? You wait till he's fucking cranking the fucking interest rate through the roof anytime he wants. Drop it. Raise it. Who cares? It's a Wednesday. Woo. Like, who gives a fuck? He barely understands business as it is. He barely understands it. But at the same time, he did, in fairness to all of us, he Lord, did come up go. With can the we, term priming the pump. And no one else came up with it. No one said it before he did. And so obviously he knows what he's talking about.
There you go.
What an idiot. All right. That is it for us. We will see you guys next week with another episode.
See ya.